Hello, beautiful, and welcome to Finding Fertility. I'm your host, Monica Cox from FindingFertility.co, and I created this podcast to help get you to start thinking outside of the box and realize that your infertility might have nothing to do with your lady bits. Rooted in functional medicine and personal experience, Finding Fertility is all about looking at the whole body and finding the root cause of your infertility. Finding Fertility does not diagnose, prescribe, or treat any issues of infertility. But what we do is take a holistic approach and improve your diet and your lifestyle to get you steps closer to creating your dream family. Just by being here with me, listening to this podcast, you're already going down the right path to making your dreams come true. Let's do this together. Okay, happy Friday, all. Welcome back to another episode of Finding Fertility. I'm your host, Monica Cox. Thank you so much for being with us. We're truly honored and blessed and very bittersweet to have you here, but we are here to empower you. I have Cultivate Fertility on the podcast, which I'm super excited. I'm getting full body chilled. I don't know why. But I have been blessed to be a guest on their summits. And so it was time to have you guys in the Finding Fertility space. So welcome. I would like you, there's three of you today. So I'd like you to introduce yourself. And
I'm Dr. Kara Burkhart. I'm a women's health expert. We believe in the holistic approach to fertility. And so we have our beautiful mindset coach and other doctors, our nutritionist. We're like a team approach to fertility.
And I'm Dr. Hillary Fredrickson. So I'm team Cultivate Fertility with Dr. Kara. We have been friends. We went to naturopathic medical school and studied to be acupuncturists way back in the 2000s. So we've been at this game for a long time. We love working together in community as a community of doctors, and with our team approach, working one-on-one with individuals to kind of help them unlock their fertility mysteries.
Hi, and I'm Lauren Hanna. I'm the creator of Sacred Fertility Yoga, and I'm part of the Cultivate Fertility team. And I support women by providing the little bit of magic. So the yoga, the meditation, the mindset. I do Akashic Record readings. We go into unconscious, subconscious. We go into family tree, we go into ancestors, angels, you name it, and we go there. So,
oh my gosh, that's so amazing. The dream team, that's so cool. So you've been in this game for a long time, right? In the women's health, the fertility space. What do you think has changed the most in the last decade or 15 years?
Well, I think the most important thing is that people are open and they get, I can fix my problem here, and there's more than what is offered to them medically. We're here because we're all totally pissed off at how women are treated in the fertility game. You too, Monica. I mean, it's bullshit what happens when you go to the doctor and you say, I've had these miscarriages, I'm not getting pregnant, is there something wrong with me? Half the time, the labs aren't even ordered properly. Beyond that, you have to have so many miscarriages before they do a proper workup. And then the only doctor they know to send you to is go to the IVF clinic. So we find that most people we work with are sent too early. They're not dealing with the root cause of their problems, and they're being gaslit at their doctor's office. And then they aren't sort of able to figure out what is the path. And now these days you can navigate it and find, practitioners who really take into account everything and leave no stone unturned, because we believe there's a reason why people aren't able to get pregnant and stay pregnant and get that baby. There is something going on.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Do you think social media has to play with that? Like the access that people have?
Oh my gosh. It's to educate people so much, right? Mm-hmm. People, that's the difference. Like we were working with somebody yesterday, and she's older and we're doing hormone balancing. Now she's a bit older, but she had 5 miscarriages and trying for a second baby. At the time, this was 10 years ago, nobody ever spoke to her about miscarriages. OBs aren't the right people for it. Kara and I talk about it all the time. OBs are surgeons, or they do surgical residencies. It's a tricky gig because they do primary care. So that's often the only doctor women work with. But those guys are surgeons. They have to do surgical residency continuing education. And Lord knows we need it, because I certainly don't know how to remove a fibroid as a naturopathic physician, right? So like, but this lady, 5 miscarriages, and she, you know, hearing the story, she had a clear luteal phase defect, clear progesterone issues. Nobody ever talked to her about it. She probably just needed progesterone. Maybe not just that, but something.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen now. Now a lady has now because of social media, because of podcasts like yours, summits like ours, like whatever, people know that they're, I feel like there's just a real awakening to like, this isn't working for me. I think I have a luteal phase defect. Like, people have words for it then, whereas, you know, 10 years ago, they're just very educated. Like, I'm sure your audience knows a lot about their bodies in ways that women 10 years ago did not at all. So it's awesome. It's working.
Yeah. I always say, I mean, my journey was pretty long to a natural pregnancy, but at the time, this is like 15 years ago, there was no fertility books. Their Instagram wasn't invented, you know, no fertility podcast. And the only reason I got to where I was going, because I was willing to listen to all the kind of health and wellness popular podcasts at the time, but most of them were run by men. And you'd be lucky if you got an episode about fertility. But I mean, that was just my journey, and it took me so long to piece it all together. But now, I know it sounds really harsh, but I'm kind of like, there's no excuse. Like, there's no excuse not to have this information and take advantage of it, other than a choice you make of not believing in yourself. Maybe you have that I don't believe in that science kind of thing. I don't know why we're still having, you know, a majority of my clients doing 5 rounds of IVF within 3 years, and just, you know, getting sciatica and getting, you know, liver issues and getting all this stuff when the information is so readily available. Do you think that there's still an aspect of holding on to those old beliefs, or white coat syndrome, or like, what do you think it is?
I think it's like, you know, getting down to the core issues, like, you know, deep down inside our culture, we're just acculturized to like want things to happen fast and easy. And it's, you know, often we don't have the actual discipline to put in all the work that it's going to take and to make all the changes that we need to make. And like, let's just pay $20,000 or $40,000 or whatever it's going to cost, and bang, hopefully maybe we'll get a baby. So I think it's hard. And then I think there is. Yeah. And then I also think that it also is overwhelming, because the gift of all the social media is that there is so much more information. Women are so educated, but then there's all this conflicting information.
Right.
So that's like overwhelm, and I just can't deal with it because it's too many choices and too many options. So I'm just going to go do IVF, and just, at least I know the doctor will tell me do, and I'll follow them. Right. So it really is sort of, you really do need someone to guide you, you know. You really need a mentor or a coach or whatever you want to call it.
And it's still this patriarchy medical system, in a way where it's like the doctor at the end of the day knows more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. This is researched and proven. So even though the percentage is actually sound quite ridiculous for something you're signing up for and spending a lot of money for, it's because in the system, they know they're the experts. These are the people. So we kind of just turn it over, right? There's this like miracle, like, but the doctor from Princeton is going to figure it out for me. Or, you know, like the Yale educated reproductive endocrinologist is going to sort it out for me. And what that is actually what's shifting, right? Where like, no, actually, really, like a dope ass naturopathic doctor team, or somebody who wasn't even in med school but like fought for it for herself and figured it out and unlocked things. Those are actually the people where you're gonna probably get a lot more intel than just the people that are kind of doing that kind of systematic medicine, right? This whole thing is desperate for personalization. That's the fertility journey needs to be personalized.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the emotion that's driving it though? Cause I did this. I did this at age 29. I went to IVF. So this, like, I'm the imposter here, right? And the reason I did it, and I feel it, I did have 5 miscarriages before. I had horrible endometriosis. I had fibroids. I had anemia. I was a vegan. I did all the things. And I was just in such terrible shape at that time. And I had such fear. And I was desperately terrified of never having a baby. And I could visualize that baby and I could see that baby coming, but I didn't trust myself. And I was in my medical residency. So I was like, I didn't even tell Hillary, didn't even know about this. No one knew about this. It was like my husband and I, this was like my secret quest. I'm like, inject. I spoke at a lavender conference, like an international lavender conference. I had to go to the bathroom and inject, like hiding out. It's so embarrassing to tell you this, but I was like so terrified of those drugs, but I was so wanting the baby that I did it. Cause I was like, I have had all these miscarriages. I'm never going to get the baby. I can't hold a baby. I'm wrecked. I'm a bad person. I'm cursed, whatever it is. And I'm just going to have to do the IVF to get the baby. In reality, then we were like, well, we better start trying right away after that baby came. And my daughter is like 13 months younger than my son. So I never needed to do IVF at all, at all. That's like the lesson from my life, is that I was terrified and I ran into it and it was incongruent with my lifestyle and everything I talk about. And I was scared I was going to get cancer from those drugs. I really was at that time. And I had to hide it, you know? And so I hope that people out there listening can like identify, oh, it's fear. I'm in fear. That's how I was making decisions based on just terrified fear.
Yeah.
And that's why we do it.
Yeah. I think that a lot of us just haven't been taught in to stand in our empowerment, right? And stand into our intuition. And it's when you're not there, and you don't have to be fully there, right? We don't have to be like superwoman, but you are easily swayed to do things that you wouldn't, that doesn't feel right to you. Right. Mm-hmm. And you just follow that path and you're like, this doesn't feel good, but it's the only way. And it's because we're not taught to be like, hey, stand in your power. Even if you are the weirdo, you know, like even if you aren't the expert in the room, but you feel like this is your truth, it's so hard to stand up for yourself. And that's like one of my first things is before you even come into a coaching package with me, is you have to check your intuition. You have to know that this is 100% the right step for you, and only you can answer that for you. And then what's the next steps for you? Get everything out of the way, the money, the location, the timeline that society has put us on, and feel what's right for you. And when you get into that empowerment, you can make better decisions, whether that be using IVF, right? Like that might be an empowered choice for a lot of women. We're not against IVF. We're not against Western medicine. But I think it's used in a very fear-based way. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm actually against people going to IVF unless they've really looked for a cause. And some people do need IVF. You know, if you just don't have the right parts, right, and you're trying to have a baby and there's not the sperm and the egg to come together, you're going to go to IVF. Great. Okay. That's great. But if you've had a few miscarriages and you're just not sure and you have time to look for a cause and try and fix it, I really think that message has to get out there, because the problem is then you go in and you have failed cycles because we didn't fix the underlying problem. And that's what we all see that over and over. It's such a shame and it's heartbreaking. Because
I mean, we had a patient, right, that was like, I did IVF, 5 rounds. It's a lot of freaking rounds.
It's a lot of rounds, man.
And she said the whole time I was exhausted, like fatigue was my leading chief complaint, you know, but like an OB doesn't work up fatigue.
No.
The reproductive endocrinologist doesn't really work up fatigue. And she had some serious co-infections and infections, you know? And so it's like, whoa, if you don't feel your best going into a major medical procedure like this, and you're not optimized, then you're probably not going to get the optimal result, right? So like even just taking a few months, like we like to work with women 3 months before IVFs. Let's figure it out. Let's get everything freaking humming, your machinery humming and your spirit open and ready to go. You're freaking singing songs with your spirit baby or all these connections, your mm-hmm. angels that are helping you. You're in the mix. Then you go and you have a really different IVF.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the big things I'm seeing now, and I've actually had to turn down brand deals because I refuse to encourage the testing of things like AMH and LSH and all those things at home. Then you Google it and then it's like doomsday. Like, well, if this is this level, you're not going to be able to conceive. I literally worked with a woman for 3 consultations who was early 20s. Got this home kit, you know, oh, my AMH is low, was about to do IVF because the doctor said that was the only way. And now it's just like talking these women off the ledge of like these test results that either your doctor's doing or you're doing at home, they're not set in stone. They literally fluctuate compared to your cellular health, but there's no messaging on the package for that. Right. And I think we talked about, you know, the progesterone of like, well, you might have needed just a little progesterone support during that. Well, here we go. We're going straight to medication. Are we talking about the cellular health of the egg, of the sperm that's going to create the embryo? And then what's the environment? If you're not self-aware that you're lacking in a certain situation and you're getting the medical support, and I have an IVF baby and I use immune suppressing drugs, so like I know all about this, but what's the long-term health effects? And is that why we're seeing secondary infertility go through the roof?
Come on, or babies with sensory processing issues. Yeah. Like that, I can't, like we're I'm not here to talk and bring in pediatrics, but like the pediatric clients, it is a crazy landmine for new babies out there. And a lot of it's because we're not cleaning up aisle 9 before these pregnancies are happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to say just a real number on that, what you're talking about with AMH and the FSH number. And these are sort of sideways indicators of ovarian health. There are no way perfect numbers at all, at right. all, at all. And we see people all the time who have dire numbers, you know, you're in premature ovarian failure, get healthy babies, this stuff happens, you know, so it's really hard for us to like latch onto a number. But we had a patient who came in and her FSH number had her in menopause, real menopause number. And she came in, she did some work, she right back to like, okay, good and healthy, you know. So it's, I think that, you know, doctors don't do that because they don't retest it. You don't see it like in the medical mm-hmm. system. It's not like we retest this number every 3 months after doing some diet lifestyle removing blocks. But if you do, you see it change dramatically. So, yeah, it's hard to talk people off the ledge there.
Mm-hmm. And that patient was in this, I do think there's this need to be really conscientious and careful. Like some of these products that you can buy, that patient had been on some the wrong herbs for her. Mm-hmm. I have another patient right now who was doing a ton of detoxing, right? So like pretty hardcore detoxes. And what you're not getting if you're not a fertility specialist and you're working with like a non-fertility specialist functional doctor, and they think they're helping you, they're detoxing you, and they are detoxing your estrogen right out of your body.
It goes.
And if you don't have estrogen, you're not getting pregnant. So like, you know, and it's just like, dude, your estrogen is on the floor. Your FSH is super high because your brain's trying to wake up ovary again because you are literally detoxing all your estrogen. And that might not happen to the girl next door, but it's happening to you. So stop detoxing, you know? And so that's, again, like a very personalized thing because the girl next door might really need her estrogen detoxed. Mm-hmm. So like that's the tricky business. And that's why this is a really complex combo. There's not like one answer.
Yeah. I think that was, you know, a big theme in the summit. It was like, everyone just wants that answer. just tell me what to eat, just tell me what to do. And it's like, I'll be doing you a disservice if I hand you, these are the exact steps you need to take, right? So I talk about six steps, but there's a different path for everyone within those six steps. There's not a perfect diet. There's not a perfect way to rest and recover or do exercise or get your hormones balanced. It's very personalized. And I think that is the hardest part for women who maybe can't afford to work with someone one-on-one, maybe don't feel worthy enough to do it, you know, or just having those self-worth issues. And they're throwing darts in the dark and they're following, you know, thank you for following us on social media, but they're following 100 of us. And sometimes we say different things and they latch onto that and it's not the right thing for them. I'll never forget working with an iridologist, and he put me basically, now I know, on a full keto diet. It was the first time my cycle ever went wonky in my whole life. It was the only thing going for my fertility. I had a cycle, and then all of a sudden I didn't. And it was so wrong for me. But when you're desperate, you're willing to do anything, right? But it's having that intuition and that discernment of, even if you try something that didn't work, just get yourself out of it and like, okay. And really come to light of like, who do I resonate with most? Who am I in, who I have that vibe with? And just hone in on that information and, you know, sometimes fork up the money to work with them if you're really in alignment with them, you know, and if you're really struggling.
I kind of hate the, I need to speak to my husband combo.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that dude does not know. Like, that dude, maybe they know, but they really can't understand, one, how it feels on the inside when you're ready for your baby and it's not coming. He's not coming. And it's all you see everywhere. It's all you see at the store. Every friend you know is pregnant. That resonance has not happened for them in general, super generalizing, right? But like, they also can't really understand how much mental effort she's spending on trying to understand it and figure it out and why and the mental gymnastics and the gymnastics, and that her gymnastics are the thing one of the things that's jacking her fertility. And so I'm like, can I talk to the dude? Because I'll like make this happen pretty fast for you versus you trying to make it happen for you. You know, I love the worthiness conversation you said, Monica. Mm-hmm. Monica, you're speaking a lot about empowerment and feeling like, okay, if my intuition is like, damn, I need individualized support or personalized support or one-on-one coaching, or we need coaches. We don't live in freaking tribes. We live in our own little house. And then we're on social media. Like, we need people to carry us across these things. These are hard things.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, when it came down to my journey, I told my husband I wasn't going to do IVF again if he didn't support me. And in what everyone thought, I went crazy, I was going to change my diet, right? And it wasn't an extreme diet. I was just getting rid of the crap. And he didn't want to. And he thought I was nuts. And he didn't want to pay for a coach. And I was like, well, then I'm not doing IVF. Find someone else to do it. Because at that time, like, we truly thought we needed IVF. We had no evidence that we didn't. And I did have a natural pregnancy. But, and I was lucky maybe to be with a partner that I could put those ultimatums with, you know, and that's another big conversation to have, is like, who you with right now, how are they supporting you? Because I've been married 20 years this year. And I'll tell you, when you have kids with someone, that's going to rock your world. It's going to push your relationship to the T. And if you're not on the same page during a fertility journey, it's going to be interesting when those kids come along.
That's dope. Yeah. I want to make a comment on society with this, because we do our fertility work online, but I have an office in Connecticut where I do acupuncture for people trying to get pregnant. And it was so odd, because the front desk person would be like, we have all this cash. Somebody has to go to the bank. We have all this cash. What's going on? I'm like, who walks around with this much cash? It's like hundreds. Like, who does this? What is this? And they're like, oh, it's because all these women are paying cash so that their spouses don't know that they're spending this on their acupuncture. That's, I'm like, crazy. What? Crazy. And I don't have that kind of a relationship where somebody is looking at what I spend on a credit card or anything like that. So I don't understand that's the game that some of these women are playing, is like, where can I grab this money from in our budget? You know, because I'm not necessarily the decision maker on the budget, you know? So it's just, I'm like, are they taking it out of their grocery fund? Like, where is this money coming from? You know, it's kind of a thing that never occurred to me before. And it's sad. And it's like, you're not buying vodka with this. You're doing acupuncture. You know, that should be celebrated. You're trying to take care of yourself.
Yeah. All I think though is that you're on the East Coast and there's like mobsters there and they just carry a lot of cash too.
Okay. I did have a woman where I suspected she was like grabbing it from the safe. I think she was using that. I do suspect that of one person. Oh,
I love the East Coast. Love it. Okay. So we all know we're physical beings on this physical earth. You have to play the physical game, but we also know that there is a spiritual aspect. There is a realm beyond our knowledge and our knowing. A lot of that is connected to the subconscious mind. And Lauren, if you want to jump in here, when you get clients who are like, okay, I want to show up for my physical health, I get all the testing done, I know what I need to do. I've literally had people pay me and they tell me their issues because they've already paid someone else thousands of dollars to tell them their issues. And it's like, what is it when we know what we need to do physically, but we don't show up for ourselves?
Yeah, I think so much of it is just being in a space where we are not, either there's some sort of unconscious shame or guilt or fear or not being ready really in some way or not feeling deserving, right? There's always something that's preventing us from really buying into it, you know, 1,000%. And some, you know, there's so many women that say like, I just want my baby. But then, yeah, if they're not taking those steps, then there is definitely almost always some sort of a hesitancy, some sort of a fear, something that happened in their past. Maybe there was a trauma. It was in there, you know, maybe there were terminations that they had to have when they were younger and they still haven't gotten over that. Maybe it's a bad relationship with their mother. Maybe it's some ancestral trauma that they're carrying. There's so many, you know, unanswerable questions. And unless you're ready to kind of open that little Pandora's box, as you were saying earlier, Monica, and kind of dive into it, it's easier maybe just to like not to have to really have it happen, you know, not because if you take the steps, then it is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Are you truly ready?
Yeah. I know a lot of people will think like, well, is this a punishment? Do I not want it enough? Did I not pray hard enough? Like, what did I do in the past? I feel like I can confidently say that has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. But where do those thoughts come from? And are you willing to examine those?
The thing is, once you start to have the understanding, it can be like an immediate clearing.
And we are going to end our episode right there. You guys know the drill with these longer, amazing guest podcasts. We like to keep it short and sweet here at Finding Fertility. So if you are loving this conversation, make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss next week's episode. If you are interested in joining the summit that Cultivate Fertility puts on, the links are down in the show notes. Have a great week.
Thank you once again for tuning in to the Finding Fertility podcast. If you're loving this podcast, please leave us a rating and review and let us know how this podcast is supporting you to get steps closer to creating your dream family. I hope you have a beautiful weekend and we will see you next Friday for another episode of the Finding Fertility podcast.